China, Mexican immigrants, Muslims, Trump pins the source of today's discontentment on the innocent. He senses our fraying social fabric, our fading social contract after 3 decades of stagnant wages, dimmed hopes, increasing uncertainty, middle-class erosion, and some very rich people, like him, but richer, getting much, much richer, more so than Americans realize. Inequality is rising dramatically for multiple reasons. Free trade, technological disruptions, tax breaks for businesses and elites, declining unions, corporate self-dealing, deindustrialization, and the financialization of a winner-take-all economy. The causes are complicated, but the downsides have concentrated on many of the same people. Yes, as technology changes, the risks and rewards of disruption are often spread widely, so that each benefits on average in the longer run. But with freer trade, the same losers take the hits over and over, throughout decades or a whole generation, so that the winners can have cheaper sweatpants and TVs. Jobs are created, but somewhere else, not where the lower-skilled worker can labor, or not with an income secure enough for steady dignity. There is a generally understood social contract. Certain things that were supposed to happen in exchange for our embrace of free trade and unbridled capitalism, things like rising standards of living, equality of opportunity, and broadly shared prosperity. This hasn't been happening for more than 3 decades. But it was not God who hath decided this, or the work of impersonal forces, or even an imperative of globalization. We chose it. Stood by and watched it and let it happen, forgetting about our social contract because remembering wasn't convenient, or because the memory hole swallowed the Great Depression, or because noticing didn't serve elite power and interest. Economists made the case for free trade unconditionally, as though it were science instead of ethics. You see, you have to simplify things for the public and officials. Freer trade does augment the wealth of nations, just as Adam Smith and David Ricardo said, on average, over the longer run. So you just stay on message and make that point boldly, ignoring all the niceties about compensating losers, even if, yes, as we all know as professionals, such compensation is strictly necessary for freer trade flows to be efficient in the sense defined by Vilfredo Pareto, i.e., no one can be made better off without making someone else worse off. There were always going to be displaced people, especially lower-skilled workers. They already weren't headed anywhere near high incomes, and they won't easily get the higher-skilled jobs being created in a different part of the disrupted economy. The whole point of free trade is to redeploy a country's resources, including its workers, for more productive uses. That's trade to comparative advantage. Imports are things we don't have to make so that we can make something else instead, relative to our own productive options, and get richer in the aggregate. But we don't actually get productive efficiency unless we also compensate the losers. Free trade is not efficient unless we do something to cover their losses in income and security. Free trade isn't efficient, or fair for that matter, without social protections. But no one made a big deal of that subtlety, which wasn't politically convenient. It was a political decision to quietly abrogate the terms of our social contract. We didn't have to let workers languish in insecure employment or no employment at all. When jobs were lost, workers could have been retrained and re-educated with help for schooling expenses. They could have been compensated with unemployment pay and wage insurance that tops up one's salary to one's previous pay, or even a basic minimum income, which conservatives once supported. With consistent re-employment and steadily improving skills at better and better salaries, workers really could have seen rising wages on a steady path toward a secure retirement. They could have shared in the rising wealth of nations, although, of course, for all the social insurance, which costs something, we'd have had to pay taxes. So, we instead chose to throw workers under the globalization bus, or at least some politicians chose for us. If our democracy is failing us, it seems someone must take charge of the situation. For starters, we could stop screwing its lower-skilled workers and so actually keep the promise of American capitalism, of rising tides lifting all boats, the yacht and the dinghy alike. So you see, Trump is going to make some new deals, really great deals, only the best, and raise tariffs against China. But he's a strange champion for his more benighted white brethren, given that this isn't such a great deal for them, or indeed for anyone. Compare this to Putin, who pleases the economically marginalized with wars and talk of restored greatness instead of rising wages. So, with new tariffs, low-skilled workers will do only a little less badly, though not enough to spare them of dying sooner than others, as lower-income whites have been recently. Meanwhile, higher-skilled workers in export industries will take a big hit, hurting upward mobility. And millions and millions and millions of hard-working Chinese people will be denied a way out of subsisting on less than what you can buy in the United States for a dollar per day. All in all, this is a great deal because it means we don't actually have to repair the torn social fabric by raising the social safety net and the taxes to do so, so that capitalism might actually fulfill its promise of rising living standards without asking U.S. workers to languish in resentment, even if the rich will get a bit less rich.